with exceptions, that I want to do whatever Jesus wants to do. It don't make any difference with me. Whatever he wants to do, well, I'm ready and willing to do it. I'm ready. He knows what he wants to do, and he knows what's important, and he knows what he wants to say. And whatever he wants to say, well, it's all right with me. It's all right with me. I kept standing around, thinking maybe the Lord would speak to me about somebody. If you've got your Bibles, turn over to the book of St. Mark, the 13th chapter. Let's read just a little bit from the book of St. Mark. And as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. And Jesus answering said unto him, Seest thou these buildings here? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? And Jesus answering them began to say, Take heed, lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of war, be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be earthquakes in divers places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows. But take heed to yourself, or they shall deliver you up to council, and in the synagogues you shall be beaten, and you shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and the children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. But when ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand. Then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains, and let him that is on the housetop not go down into the house, neither enter therein, to take anything out of his house. And let him that is in the field not turn back again for to take up his garment. But woe to them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. And pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, for in those days shall be affliction, such as was not from the beginning of the creation which God created unto the time, neither shall be. And except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved. For the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he has shortened the days. And then if any man shall say to you, Lo, here is Christ, or Lo, he is there, believe him not. For false Christ and false prophets shall rise, and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. But take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall he send his angels, and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and putteth forth the leaves, ye know that summer is near. So ye in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh even at the door. Verily I say unto you that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and of that hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is a man, as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. You know, according to Mark, he must be speaking about the book of Revelation in the 12th chapter. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the 3rd part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God into his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had the place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he had but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. John goes on to say here in the 13th chapter that he saw the beast rise up out of the waters. I want to point this out to you again, remind you, even though you know this, I'd like to remind you tonight as we talk to you. It is immediately after Revelation 12, when this dragon is finally cast out of heaven, it is immediately after that, that the personification of the devil takes place in the earth. For it is immediately after the expulsion of the dragon from heaven that John looks and he sees this great beast coming up out of the waters, the personification of that which has been cast out of heaven. Lucifer having been cast out of heaven, or that is, Lucifer being an angelic being, being a spirit, Lucifer being cut off from the spirit, not being able to be a spirit anymore in the sense of being hid from the eyes of the human being. He has to come forth, put on human flesh, take a human body, and God forces him out into the open to where he can be seen as the Antichrist, or that is to say, Lucifer can no more be hid and be a power of deception that cannot be seen. Everyone that will serve him after that will serve him because of their own want to. He will be seen by all of them as a human being. Now, he will be made manifest in the flesh just like God was made manifest in the flesh of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And when we look at this, we see a great thing, because in Mark, Jesus, during the lifetime of his ministry, he told his disciples, he said, there will come a time when there will be wars and rumors of wars, and nations shall rise against nation. There shall be earthquakes and pestilence, and children shall rise up and kill their parents. And he said, at this time, the stars shortly following will fall from heaven. And Revelation 12 covers this period that Jesus speaks of. Revelation 12 being the middle of the week, Daniel's last week, or the 7 years of tribulation that the Bible speaks of. Here the stars fall from heaven, because stars represent angels, and Lucifer, being a chief angel, being cut off from heaven, all of his following goes out of heaven with him. And they go out into the earth. Thus Lucifer and all of his following goes out because of this great war that this angelic being, Michael, wedges against Lucifer and the angels of God fighting with him. Now, when we look at this, we are made to realize that this is immediately after Revelation 11, where this angel sounds in 11:15, where the Bible says, when the angel, concerning Revelation 10:7, when he sounds, the mysteries of God shall be finished. Revelation 12, where the stars go out, Lucifer goes out, the middle of the week. Revelation 13, where Lucifer is personified when he comes up out of the waters, which John said is the great body of people. He comes up in a personification of a human body, in that he is no longer in the spirit. We see all of this runs in a great continuity. It's a great sequence of the things of God. In Revelation 10:7, it speaks of the sounding of this angel. Revelation 11:15, it says he sounds. Revelation 12, there is a great war in heaven. And then Revelation 13, and we see the Antichrist coming on the scene. Revelation 11, we see those two prophets coming on the scene. Revelation 10, when we see Revelation 10, we also see the thunders that John spoke of. For the thunders begin to utter their voices, and these thunders, these seven thunders that had to do with the sounding of this last angel, these thunders point to Revelation 12. Now let's look at that and see if that's true. Revelation 10:7, John said, and when this angel sounds, John was just about to write down the thunders, for seven thunders had uttered their voices as this angel, great angel of Revelation 10, placed 1 foot upon the waters and 1 foot upon the land. Here with a foot upon the sea and a foot upon the land, the Bible said at that time, seven thunders uttered their voices. John was about to write the thunders, and just as he made preparation to write, a voice spoke from heaven and said, John, see that you do it not. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, the mystery of God should be finished. I said the original rendering of the word mystery is secret. I remind you again, he that abideth in the shadow of the Almighty shall dwell in the secret place of the Most High. The original rendering of the word angel here is messenger. In the days of the voice of the messenger, the last messenger, then the secret shall be finished. So then when we see this, hear this, or understand this, we know that seven thunders, that was a mystery, uttered their voices. And God did not allow John to write down the mystery. But he said, John, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, the mystery shall be finished. What is the seventh angel? Let's go back and retrace our footsteps again for those that don't know. Remember, Revelation 7, the last part of it. We find the great multitude in heaven that no man could number of every kindred and tongue. These following the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These having been redeemed from the earth. Apparently being the church that has been raptured out. These are those that were in heaven. When we see these in Revelation 7, we look just before we get to these. Revelation 7 records that there was 144,000 that received a seal in their foreheads that were in the earth while these were in heaven. And then there was four angels standing on the corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth. And just as they started to strike with their detrimental blow, a voice from heaven said, don't let anything happen or anything in the earth be hurt or destroyed till I seal the servants of my God in their foreheads. So then the winds were held back. The seal came. The rapture took place. Up went the saints. The 144,000, the Jews were sealed in. Then the four winds, as we said the other night, of the four seas, the four winds, the four powers that Daniel saw wrestling over the waters in his day, the same vision. The four winds, as the wind of the doctrine of communism, the four winds of capitalism in the West, of a governmental power, a sea, the four seas as we call them, of communism, that's in the south, wrestling over the waters. As Christianity, in that salvation is of the Jew, coming from the east, through Christ and Calvary, wrestling over the waters. We see, I say communism in the south, Catholicism and communism in the north. Communism in the north, Catholicism in the south, Christianism over in the east, and capitalism in the west. The four seas, as we term it, four winds of doctrine, four powers, people being waters, wrestling over the waters. They are wrestling over the people, these four governments, to get control of them and to rule the earth. These are the four domineering powers in the earth. Capitalism is a great domineering power. Communism is a great domineering power. And Catholicism is a great domineering power that has ruled in the past. And Christianism is a great domineering ruling power. And when I say that, I am not speaking of Christianity, but rather religion that has been through the Jewish power. Now, so then when we think of these things, they're wrestling over the waters. And they're trying to get control of all of the earth. Isn't that right? But the Bible says that these winds were not to be released until after God had sealed the servants in their foreheads. So the church apparently has been raptured. Immediately in Revelation 8, after the sealing in of the church, we see that the blood comes off of the mercy seat. The Bible said there is 30 minutes of silence in heaven. Apparently this is the blood coming off of the mercy seat, because immediately after that 30 minutes of silence, an angel walks over, he takes a censer, puts the prayers of the saints in a sweet-smelling incense. He walks to the golden altar. He takes one of those hot coals. He puts it in there. He takes that censer. He throws it down into the earth. And when he does, the judgments of God strikes, following the 30 minutes of silence. And so then, everything in the earth goes into a convulsion, which means these winds have been turned loose. And everything begins to just rock and reel in the earth. And John saw the whole earth go into a convulsion. The islands were moved out of their places. And as I've said, those islands at one time that was up, it at the time that Adam was in the garden, those islands that were one time up that went under in the great deluge in the days of Noah, those islands come back up. And these islands that we see now that was one time under the waters, they come up, and these that were up go down. All of a sudden, it's just a convulsion, and it's just a topsy-turvy sort of a thing. And John sees this, and he sees the bursting of the bombs. He sees the lightning. He sees the thundering. He sees all of these great things taking place in the earth. All of these things, and what a terrible time it is. The stars start falling from heaven. The blast of the bombs, the atomic blast, and the troubling of the elements is so great that even the stars are shook out of their sockets. And they start falling. They can't stay up there. You know, we bring this out a lot of times spiritually when we can take our time. Those wandering stars the writer speaks of, wandering stars of whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever, not little suns that have their own light, that can stay in orbit, they lose hold to that great shaking. For God said, I've shook the earth in Moses' day, but once again I shake not the earth, but heaven too. I'll shake heaven and the earth this time, and I'll shake everything that can be shaken, which means all of the fallen, all of the stars that cannot hold their position shall be fallen stars, or all of the fallen stars that the Bible speaks of shall come out of their orbit and socket and fall into the earth. Those kind of stars are nothing according to science but rock and nickel, and they become brimstone as they burn coming down through space. But on the other hand, there are stars that are suns. Our sun is a star. There are those that are filled with the brilliance and brightness of light. This is typical of a Christian, one that you cannot shake loose, one that's founded upon the rock Christ Jesus, a real genuine light that's held up there by that magnetic power of the Almighty God, somebody that's not a wandering star, that's somebody that is doing something. You know, there's people that wander from town to town, from church to church, and they do nothing but cause trouble and problems and gossip and backbite and find fault and grumble, and they never help anybody do anything. They don't stand for nothing. They don't stand with anybody. You say, who are you with? Well, I'm not with anybody, because if I line up with this group won't have me. And if I line up with that group, the other group won't have me. So I don't line up with nobody. That is, they don't line up with anybody but self and the devil. The devil's got them lined up with him and self, and they don't have enough backbone to line up with anything and stand for it. So they just wander from pillar to post, hoping to have everybody, you know, to stand with them in what they are not doing. They're not doing anything. Just wandering stars. Don't have any light. All they do is reflect other lights. Just wandering stars. But there are those that labor and toil and hold a light, that stand for something. Brother, they stand for the revelation of Jesus Christ. They stand for baptism in Jesus' name. They stand for the fact that there is one God. They stand for clean Holy Ghost living. It doesn't matter whether they're in the Methodist church or the Baptist church or the Pentecostal church, or whether they're in the field or at a service station or wherever they're at. And they stand for their brothers and sisters, and they fight the good fight of faith, and they lay hold on eternal life. Those are not wandering stars. Those are not going to the mist of darkness.
And so then we see that Revelation 12 is what this is all about. In Revelation 8, I get to preaching instead of trying to explain what I'm trying to say here. We see then that Revelation 8 shows us something. And that is, after the silence in heaven, seven angels stand there ready to sound. These seven angels sound. The stars fall. Down comes this hail mingled with blood, and a third part of the trees are smitten. Now remember, just before the ceiling in Revelation 7, it said, don't hurt anything on the earth. Don't hurt the trees. Now they're sealed. The servants are sealed. Now the others are in heaven. Now the winds are turned loose. The trumpets sound. It's the turning loose of the winds. Then the trees are hurt. And all of a sudden, one right after another, they sound, and the last three of those trumpets, as they sound, are called, whoa, 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 the three woes. The angel said, whoa, 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 unto them that dwell upon the earth by reason of the last three trumpets that are to sound. And so the first woe, and all of a sudden, that great, horrible thing begins to take place of that bottomless pit being opened. These weird things coming out of the earth, the horsemen and the locusts as the second is sounding. And then just before the last woe, the seventh angel, the third woe, between the sixth and the seventh angel, the second and the third woe, an angel with a rainbow about his head, this great angel that's clothed with the cloud that comes out of heaven, steps down, puts one foot on the land and one on the sea. Raises his hand to heaven and swears by him that liveth forever and ever that time shall be no more. Seven thunders utter their voices. And then all of a sudden, as these thunders utter the voices, John begins to write. And the angel says, no, John, no. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, this mystery will be made known. Revelation 10 and 7, he tells him. Revelation 11, 17, as the courts are measured, as the two prophets come, as the great earthquake happens, as the prophets lay in the street dead, signifying the end over to Revelation 19. All of a sudden here, we hear in Revelation 11, 15, that the seventh angel sounds, the third woe comes. And just as the angel of God had told John, here it says, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God. Which makes us to know that when that angel sounded in 11:15, it had to be in the end of the world. 11:15 has to be referring to the end of the world. Because it said, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and forever. Now, and it's obvious that this is all right together because it says here the seven thundered mystery would be made known, and it is immediately following 11:15 that Revelation 12 comes in where the woman with her feet on the moon, she's in great travail. It is immediately here that there is war in heaven. And you that understand storm clouds know that the thing that causes war in heaven in its typical sense is when hot clouds and cold clouds come together. It is when dark clouds and light clouds come together. That means that in this forced Isha of racial conflict, that this is the hour of the thunders. It means in this heated hour of temper and friction from some nations that are striking at others that want to be peaceful and quiet, that there's going to be some head-on collisions. It means there's going to be friction. Friction in the elements when those winds are released. When these great leaders begin to fight with each other. And the bombs begin to fall and the missiles begin to go. There's going to be lightnings. There's going to be thunders. There's going to be war in heaven. All of this is typical, spiritually speaking, of the war in heaven that is in the church. You that are born to the Spirit, you are no longer in this world. God has chosen you out of this world, hid you with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. And you know the tapes that we have here, the messages. We preach on the first heaven, the second heaven, and the third heaven. We don't have time to go into that tonight, but you that are acquainted with it, you realize that we are in heaven. There is the war. There is the war. This woman was in heaven in Revelation 12. But Lucifer was also in heaven. Now look at the day that we're living in again. America, the woman nation. The new world, it's called the new world. The woman with a foot on the moon. Look at that footprint on the moon that's been emphasized in our day. Though thou makest thy nest among the stars, from thence I shall cast thee down to hell. Look at the travail of the nation right now to bring forth a leader. One leader being killed right after another. Look at the stars and stripes that fly. The stars above ahead. Old glory taken up to the moon. And Icky Bob wrote on the door of America. Glory, the rapture being taken away. Look at the picture of it as you behold it right now. Look at the thing that they go up to the moon in. That's called the Apollo. And look at what Revelation says about Apollo or Apollyon. His name, Lucifer, Apollyon. Look at it. This thing goes back to that same old Greek thing of the sports, of the wrestling, the football, the boxing, the jogging, all of that which pertains to the body, eating and drinking and reveling. Passions, frolics, dancing, merit, all of this. The woman with her feet upon the moon. And all of a sudden there was war in heaven. Why? Because the red dragon is there too. Look at the communist nation of China that's represented as the dragon. Look at the thing coming to America the way it did when Jimmy Carter was in office. Look at the problem that it caused. Communism is also flying around in those heavens while the woman is flying around in those heavens. The woman with her feet on the moon, but the red dragon is still laying in there, ready to devour that child, that great leader, to bring in their leader. That red dragon nation of China that tried to devour Carter. JC, we called it Jesus Christ, the typical thing when they painted the beard on his picture and called him JC. How many understand what I'm saying? And there was thunders. There was thunders in the church today. The hot and the cold clouds are coming together. They're trying to mix darkness with light. And people that are walking in darkness, that are sinners, that are interested in sports, that's interested in business, that's interested in the convenience of the world. They're trying to bring the professional men into the church. And they're suppressing the life out of true Christians that just want to be common, down-to-earth people to shout, sing, and praise God. They're being worn out. The saints of God are being worn out. The suppression, darkness and light, you can't mix it. It won't mix. It won't mix, my brother. Did you know that you cannot force immigration? Somebody would say, this great thing of bringing the black and the white together. We see this great thing where they have stood up for the rights and they forced the issue, and today we have a great thing. You are very foolish. You have the most dangerous thing you ever had. You've got something like a powder keg that's got a short fuse to it that's going to blow up any minute. You cannot force integration. You cannot force nations to walk together. Brother, the Bible said two can't walk together lest they be agreed. When you force men together, they are not agreed. You take a black man and a white man and try to make him walk together. You can't do it. I can take the same black man and white man and put him together and make him walk together. How are you going to do it? I'll get him to agree. How will he agree? I'll get the Holy Ghost in his heart. And they'll be sons of God and they'll walk together and there won't be any friction. But you put them together and sooner or later there'll be an undermining and there'll be a war and there'll be a killing. See if it don't come. And there'll be a great slaughter because you cannot force integration. You cannot force people together. You can't force two black men to walk together. You can't force two white men to walk together. If they are edgy at each other and don't agree with each other, you have to let them go their own way. So then when we see this thing, there is only one power of unionizing, and that is the Holy Spirit of God, which is love. God is love. God created all things. God unites all things together with love. God binds all things together with love. Not a hypocrisy, not a make-believe, but real, genuine love. Because you love one another. When you see this thing, you see the church today. There's darkness in the church. Men are in darkness. God said, Paul, turn my people from darkness to light. That is, they're walking in ignorance, spiritual ignorance. They're walking in worldliness. They've got intellectual reasoning. They want to do the things of the world. They love the things of the world. They're still carnal. They're still abiding in death. They're still in darkness. And yet there are people that are in the mind of Christ that love the Lord. Lucifer is in the flesh, savoring the things that be of the flesh. Christ is in another heart, savoring the things that be of the Spirit, trying to kill out the flesh. And so there's a great war. Lucifer's trying to kill out that spiritual son with the birthright. Christ is trying to kill out that bonds child that keeps mocking the free child that's trying to steal the birthright. There's the war. There's problems. There's troubles. Why? Because there was friction. There was thunders. There was lightning. All of this caused frictions. All of this causes murmurings. Murmurings are thunders in the church. Friction is lightning in the church. Sharp cutting words in the church. In this out goes Lucifer. Out goes Lucifer. Something happened today while we were standing down here that had to do with my son, which I told my wife had to do with the casting out of Lucifer because it had to do with my son. I had to say some sharp things to my son today. God used his son and smote his son to cast out the accuser of the brethren. Though his son spoke the truth in the things that he spoke against those who were wicked. But you didn't know that when that was happening, that it was some of you that was sitting there that had given place to Lucifer. And that what it had to do with was casting Lucifer out, which had to do with you. And believe it or not, we had hardly gotten away from there before some of the very ones that I knew that was guilty went right straight and stirred up a strife. The talebearer stirred up strife, moved the talebearer, and the strife will cease. And they went right straight and stirred up strife, but even caused my wife some heartaches over in the evening. Now, when we see this, it said, and this woman brought forth a man-child that was to rule with the rod of iron, and he was caught up under the throne of God, which is that third heaven. We don't have time to elaborate on that tonight for this reason. You're hot and sweaty and you're worn out and you're not going to sit there too much longer. And I'm not going to try to take advantage of you, but I'll tell you what, there's a whole lot to say about it. I wish we could. The woman fled into the wilderness. This red dragon was cast out. The old serpent called the devil, and John immediately saw a personification of him as the beast come up out of the waters, or which means an individual come up from among the people. The thunders, the mystery of the thunders. As the thunders uttered the voice, he said, don't write, John. For in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, then the mystery of God would be finished. Paul said, great is the mystery of godliness, and I am made a steward of the mysteries. We're living here in this hour when we see America with a foot on the moon. We see the red dragon. We see every natural type showing that this is the hour that this pointed to. Every natural type shows that we're living in that hour, and everything points to it. So far as the publications of the medias, in that Israel is rising up every way. They're rising up. They've already went about that bumming, and everything is just ready for destruction. The blood is about to be spilled. And the red dragon has reference to the spilling of blood. A lot of things that we have said and could say about it that we won't bother to try to say tonight. But it has to do with the spilling of the blood. Now you that have clean minds, you think, as quick as the child was born, the red dragon went out. When a birth comes, there comes forth water. There comes forth blood. There comes forth spirit. Now, isn't that right? And there's three things that's denoted here in this birth. One of these things is the woman that goes into the wilderness. When this woman goes into the wilderness, the devil pursues this woman, but as the water breaks forth, as a flood, it swallows up her enemies. On the other hand, when the blood part comes forth, when this blood comes forth, the war commences in heaven, and the red dragon, which is the blood life, goes out. And then the third part of it is, this child which is born with life, the last man Adam being made a quickening spirit, the spirit or the life is caught up to the throne. This great birth, this great thing that takes place, this great outstanding event that he spoke of concerning the thunders and the war in heaven is shown to us here in Revelation 12 and Mark 13. This is what he is referring to. Jesus is referring to that great hour when that child shall rule with a rod of iron. These three things, I wish we had time to elaborate on them tonight, and extensively speaking, follow them out as to what they signify and the bearing that they would have concerning this great mystery. But I know that it's hot tonight, and I know that you'd like to go home. But remember this one thing, and that is that we are living in the hours when God said the mysteries of the thunders would be finished. We're living in the hour when he said the voice would come forth, and we are living in the hour when the mystery of God must be finished. And if the mystery of God be finished, it means we are living in the hour when he said the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. And this is what we believe. That's why we fly the little flag that we fly, both on the boat and out here on these grounds. It is because we believe that we are living in that great, wonderful moment and that great, wonderful hour when the saints of God are going to rise and take the kingdom. And though I'd love to say a lot, I'm going to stop here, but I'm going to say this much. You know, Brother Don Mercer, that's coming over to work with us in the boat. Don had a vision, and I believe I related this vision to some of them this morning, not this last one I'm going to relate, but at least I related one of them this morning, or two of them. I think he's had three in the last little bit. But he said, Brother Pike, said, I saw you standing, and you were standing beside a pile. He said, I couldn't tell what it was, a heaped up pile of something. He said, whatever it was good. And I saw a heaped up pile of something else, two piles of it, and other people were standing beside those piles. He said, I just don't know what it was. But said the ones that was beside the first two, said they were very sad, and those piles were bad, whatever they were. But this other heap, you were standing beside it and said it was very good and said you were real happy. Then he said he saw a check. And on this check, he said he saw my name, my picture on one end of it and another brother's picture on the other end of it. I mentioned the brother's name this morning. I shouldn't have done that. I wasn't thinking when I said it. But he's told the brother the vision anyway. But he said the brother's picture was on one end and my picture was on the other end of the check. Said, I recognize your picture, Brother Pike. Said, a voice spoke from heaven, or I heard a voice, and said, this voice said, called the man's name and said, he is not numbered with these people, or shall not be numbered with these people. Then he had another vision, and in this vision, he said he was standing in front of a mirror. And I may not have this exactly right, but to the best of my remembrance, he was standing in front of a mirror, and he looked and he saw himself as it was himself in the mirror, or saw someone in the mirror, and said this person in the mirror was glorified and looked like they had eyes of fire. And then a voice spoke to him. And what was it the voice spoke? Somebody tell me. It said, ye are gods. Is that the way it said? Is it not written that ye are gods? Or it is written that ye are gods? Whichever way. Now that's beautiful. Because the brother had just testified to some more ministers that he had come to what he believed was the revelation of Jesus Christ, or do with the revelation of Jesus Christ, and he was accepting it and going along with it, and all of a sudden he had this vision. Now the Bible said, as one beholding himself in a glass, being changed from glory to glory into the glorious image of the Son of God, or into his very image. Isn't that right? You know, that's what we teach in this message, looking into the perfect law of liberty, into the perfect word of God. And we teach that ye are justified, sanctified, and that God hath glorified you. That's what the Bible teaches. And when you believe it, it becomes effective. Just like when you believe for healing, it becomes effective. All of God's works are finished from the foundation of the world. And it's up to us to move into them and be translated into them by faith in God. So then we believe in this, and the brother believes that God has shown him that this is the great translation and that he has been translated into it and that he has become a part of it. I trust that you too are a part of it and that you love the Lord. I want you to stand with me. There's a lot of things that we need to say and should have said. But like I said, I know you're hot tonight. When I get to talking about the things of God, I could just go on and on and on until I fall on my face, if he let me fall on my face. But I know you're hot, miserable, tired. I'm going to let you go. But don't forget what I told you. The mysteries of God should be finished. The mysteries of God must be finished. Now you say, well, Brother Pike, somebody finished the mysteries of God a long time ago. The Bible said at the sounding of the voice, they would be finished. So the only way that you can convince me is according to the word. And according to the word, when the seventh voice sounds, it'll be finished. You say, what is that seventh voice? It means it's the last one that's going to sound. Why do you say it's the last one? Because he declared that time would be no more at the sounding of that voice. In Revelation 11:15 said, when he sounded, the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of God. That meant there was nothing following. Now, you say, well, they were finished quite a long while back, Brother Pike. Well, I wonder why the kingdoms did not become the kingdoms of our God. And I also wonder this, if they were finished here not too long ago, why is it, if that be true, that we've got so many wonderful revelations from Jesus since then, and so many great, wonderful, outstanding things,
since then that God has given. No, brother, they were not finished. It's true they were finished in Christ from the foundation of the world. They were actually finished when Jesus hung at Calvary, because he was the finishing of the mysteries of God. There they were unveiled. That was the finishing. We brought out a message called "It's Finished" and showed how Calvary finished everything. But see, where the problem is the comprehending. See, this thing was instigated in the mind of God before the world ever was, manifested at Calvary, and comprehended by you and I in the end time. Comprehending the heights, the depth, the width, and the length. This is where the problem is. We've been slow comprehending. It's took the seven church ages, as we refer to it, to bring about the comprehending. Proportionally speaking, as it has been released to us and made known to us, we've comprehended these great, wonderful mysteries of God. The last days, the last hour, the light should become sevenfold, which means that which we have received, the full man, the latter rain, all of it together would be compact. And we would find ourselves with the entire mystery, the fullness of the mind of Christ. Everything would come together in a union of God, in that every member would share what it had with another member. And we're ordained to the full measure, the full stature. Collectively speaking, we all come together. And thus we receive the full mind of Jesus that brings our headship back, which is the rapture or the translation. And brother, sister, it's hard for you to understand, but the revelation of Jesus Christ is the Christ. That is the Christ. That is the return of the Christ. There won't be any other Christ returning. You say, but I am waiting till I see the nail prints. That's what Thomas said. Jesus said, blessed is he that believes, Thomas, that's not seen. You say, well, I believe them nail prints will come. They will. And when he shows them to the ones that see them, they'll say, where did you get those? He'll say, I got them in the house of my friends. Or he could say, unbelieving Thomas, don't you remember? You said you wouldn't believe until you saw them. I'm here to show them to you. And the Bible said a nation will be born in one day. That Jesus will come back just like this Christ came. Just as the Christ came to the spiritual Jew to head up the church and bring together that mystic members unto that mystic Christ, so will that natural Jesus that was born as a natural Jew come back to natural Jewish people to head up a Jewish nation, to sit upon the throne of David and to rule. And a nation will be born in one day when he comes back. Thessalonians changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, will take the church out as you behold as he returns. But folks, it'll be too late for you to do anything then. If you haven't made all of your preparations, if you're not ready for the graduation, there won't be any diplomas passed out at that time to you. Now is the hour of preparation, and from thought to thought until you finish your course as to what you are to be at the time of the rewarding of the diploma. So let's remember, it's from glory to glory that we are changed into the wonderful, glorious image of the Son of the Almighty God. You love Jesus? Think upon these things. We hurriedly say so much to crowd so much into such a little bit of time until it makes it utterly impossible to detail things in such perfect simplicity to where you could really understand, because you don't have the patience. The weariness of time and demons and devils and flesh cause you to be too impulsive to take the time to stay all night like the early church when Paul taught them to get the revelation of Jesus. They sat all night to hear that revelation and cried and clung to his neck when he started to leave, because they knew what it was. Heavenly treasure in earthen vessels, the manifold wisdom of God made known to the church, even into the heavenly places. Let's sing a chorus together and we'll dismiss. Okay, let's sing "That Sweep Over My Soul." I like that chorus. I sing that chorus a lot, "Sweep Over My Soul." Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Jesus. Sweep over my soul, for my rest it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For I have anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. For I have anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and will sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempests may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Let's just slip our hands up now. May God bless you. You know, you've been a wonderful people. We don't have any cooling in the sanctuary. As I say, we've shared with others abroad and haven't put any cooling in, and our camp meeting comes in the hottest part of the year. But sometimes I think the Lord suffers that because He's doing something special. And inasmuch as He's doing something special, then He doesn't want everybody to hear it. It's just for those special people. And inasmuch as it's for the special people, sometimes He lets things be a little inconvenient. He lets a cross be there. And that causes others to shy away. They say, I'm not going back there anymore. No. Whoo, no, as hot as that is. Nothing's worth that, they say. And so their improper evaluation causes them to lose that of great value. But the others endure the cross and they press on through, and on the other side they find the green pastures of Canaan. I thank the Lord for every one of you. Well, one of these days we'll get all the carpet down back in the back. We'll get the other things finished up and it'll look a whole lot better. And we'll have it all nice and, you know, nice and convenient. The Lord will bless us. But let's do something for Jesus. You want to do something for Jesus? All right. While you're standing, just for a moment, I want you to lift your hands with me. I want you to close your eyes. And I want to pray God bless you. Now the Bible said, whosoever you bless will be blessed, and whosoever you curse will be cursed. And I want to pray a blessing on you, and I want to ask God to bless you. Because I believe God wants to bless you. I believe that you are a believer. And I believe that He blessed you through Calvary. And I want to pray that blessing upon you. And I want to stir your faith. I'm a helper of your faith. And I want to stir your faith to be able to believe for that wonderful blessing. So as we close our eyes and lift our hands, let's believe. When you pray, believe. If you desire anything, when you pray, believe that you receive it, you shall have it. Decree a thing in your heart, and it will come to pass. Precious, wonderful Heavenly Father, it's again with grateful hearts that we come to you. Oh, dear beloved Father, forgive us our sins and our mistakes and our wrongs. Forgive us our harshness. No, Heavenly Father, keep us tender. Do ramanda ramanda riyanda ramosh handa ramanda ramanaya. Handa riyanda ramoshi da bariyanda ramos handa ramanda. Ho rabariyanda rabasaya. And Holy Father, in the sweet lovely name of your darling Son Jesus, Lord, bless these lovely people. Heal their sick bodies, my Father. Bless them financially, my Father. Bless them spiritually, O beautiful Father. Lord, bless their little children. Bless their husbands and wives, their darling mothers and fathers. Bless their brothers and sisters. Bless their friends and their neighbors. Lord, save their enemies, that you might also bless them. Holy Father, deliver us. Heal us, save us, forgive us. Keep everybody safe. Lord, bless that family. Lord, there where Ms. Malloy has paid the price of death, I trust that her soul is resting with thee, Father. Lord, have mercy upon Jack. Have mercy upon Ralph. And, oh, Lord, the little grandbabies of Samuel and Suzanne. And, Lord, bless Cindy and help Cindy. My Father, my Father. Oh, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. Oh, Ramanda Ramashida Rabasaya.